join me in Matthew chapter 16 this morning. We'll begin with verse 13. Matthew 16 and verse 13. Who do you say I am? Now, that was Jesus asking that question. But I'm glad that when I trusted Jesus as my Savior, He called me His child. That's what He calls me. Amen. That's good to know this morning, isn't it? I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Beginning with verse 13 in chapter 16 of Matthew. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and some others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then He strictly charged His disciples to tell no one that He was the Christ. Father, would You help us to understand Your Word today? I pray that You'd make it clear to us. Would You, by Your Spirit, teach us this morning the depths of Your Word? We give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage, I don't know whether you realize that or not, but it's the first time the word church is mentioned. The first time the word church, and it comes out of the mouth of Jesus. Jesus uses this word to refer to an assembly of Christ followers. Now, the disciples at that moment didn't know a whole lot about the church. They're hearing this this idea kind of new also. But referring to an assembly of Christ followers, that's us this morning. We are part of a community of believers in Lexington, and this particular body is called First Baptist, right? And so what is, this morning, what is a community of believers? It's a community of believers are those who know Jesus intimately, those who have a personal relationship with Jesus. Jesus asked His disciples in that passage that we wrote, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And of course, they answered with common answers that they'd heard. Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets maybe that's come back from the dead. No one thought that Jesus was the Messiah. They thought He was a good man or even a godly man, but certainly not God Himself. And so then Jesus turned that same question on His disciples, and they should have the right answer, right? He said, "But who do you say that I am?" Of course, the "you" in that question is plural, so He's asking all of them. We might say, "Who do y'all say that I am," right? That's what we say in Mississippi. Peter spoke up first. He said, "You're the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. I think he got it, don't you? And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," or son of John, is what that means. "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father in heaven." Can you imagine if you were Peter and Jesus said that to you and said, "You just spoke the words of God. You just spoke the words of God." Not even Peter could have grasped the full meaning of what came out of his mouth. God revealed that to him. It was obvious. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. If everyone else missed it, how did Peter get it? Because we know some things about Peter, don't we? some things that came later about Peter. How did he get it? Well, he didn't get it by flesh and blood. It didn't come by Peter's intellectual knowledge or his great wisdom. Peter could not have just made that up just so that he'd have the right answer to give Jesus. You know, sometimes Christians are good at giving the right answer to the question because they've studied their Bible, but do they really believe what they said? Is your faith really what it says it is, for instance? Do you really believe the answer that you gave? You know what? A true understanding of Christ comes not from human invention, but only from divine revelation. That's how you know Christ. In other words, Peter did not make that up. God the Father revealed that to him. And we need to remember that the only way anyone can understand the beauty of Christ is because it's been revealed to him by the grace of God. What you know about Jesus, God's revealed that to you. Jesus said in John 6:44, he says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. In other words, the Father reveals himself to him. You know, we're blind. We're like the Pharisees that we've been talking about the past couple of weeks. We love the darkness. We're sinners. But God in His mercy has opened our eyes to see Jesus, to know who Jesus is and to believe in Jesus and to confess Him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, like Peter did. Now that's the testimony of every true believer. You know Christ. You believe Christ. You confess Him as Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, there were a lot of people in the first century who said that they believed Jesus, or they believed in Jesus. And likewise, there's a lot of people in our day that say they believe in Jesus. Now, you just go out on the streets of any big city or out in the country or wherever and say, do you believe Jesus? One set of statistics said that 85% of people in America believe that Jesus existed in history. And out of those 85%, 9 out of 10 believe that even that Jesus rose from the dead. It's incredible, right? But the more important question this morning is, who is the Jesus that you believe in? Who is the Jesus that you believe in? Because who you say Jesus is will determine everything about how you follow Him. You ever thought about that? Whoever Jesus is to you dictates how you're going to follow Him. And that's the root of the issue. The more important question, who is Him? That's the issue. For instance, if you think Jesus was a good teacher, you'll follow Him like you would a good teacher. If you think Jesus merely had some good ideas that might help you have a better life, then you'll listen to Him occasionally. If you think Jesus was a good example, then you might try to follow His good example. But if you believe that Jesus was and is the promised Messiah, if you believe that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He came to earth to save us from our sins, to conquer sin and death, and to reign and rule over all that the Lord has created, then that changes everything about how you live. Jesus came to earth to save us from our sins, didn't He? Jesus came to conquer sin and death and to rule and reign. That, if we believe that, then that changes about how we're going to live for Him. The church is made up of people, and I'm talking about the true church of Christ, is made up of people who know Jesus that way. People who know Jesus personally and intimately. That's what makes up the body of Christ, the church. Those who know Jesus. Do you know Jesus that way this morning? Do you know Jesus intimately and personally this morning? And is he making a difference in your life? The church is a community of people who know Jesus intimately, but it's also a community of people who proclaim Jesus with confidence. The next thing Jesus said to Peter is verse 18. He says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now this verse has caused all kinds of questions and controversy down through church history. What is the rock there that the church is built on? What is that? Other New Testament writers refer to Jesus, Paul, and the apostles and prophets as being the foundation of the church when they're trying to make different points about that question. But our passage today is what I want us to focus on. Our passage today speaks of the foundation of the church being Jesus and the confession that Peter made that was given to him by God. Notice, Peter made the confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Is that not the foundation of the church? Is Jesus not the rock? And immediately after that confession by Peter, Jesus spoke of the church that he's building upon Peter and his confession of his faith. Martin Luther said that all who agree with Peter's confession of faith are part of the foundation of the church. He said, all who agree with Peter are Peter's themselves setting a sure foundation. And of course, not to take away from the uniqueness of Peter, but it's to remind us that as we proclaim the gospel, we're building on that same foundational confession that Peter made 2,000 years ago. So we're all Peters in that respect, right? You are a building block of the church. You ever thought of yourself that way? Notice, too, that as you and me, as we proclaim the gospel of Christ, Jesus said that not even the gates of hell can prevail against that. Not even the gates of hell. Jesus would build his church and nothing is going to stop it. The reason that nothing can stop it is that nothing and nobody can stop Jesus, right? No slick-haired politician can stop Jesus' plan, right? No liberal this or bumfuzzle that or whatever you want to call this and that and the other is not going to stop the plan of God. It's not going to stop Jesus, and it's not going to stop his church, because we belong to Jesus who can't be stopped. Then nothing can stop us from proclaiming the gospel, right? The reason that this is so is that because Jesus has given us authority on the earth. Authority. Now verse 19 says, Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Now again, that verse has been taken out of context, and you'll hear of people going here and binding this in the name of Jesus and binding that in the name of Jesus and claiming this and claiming that, all because they say they have the authority of Jesus. But we must remember to take what we read in the Bible in the context of where it is and what they're talking about. And this passage today, Jesus is talking about building his church from those who have an intimate relationship with him and giving us authority to proclaim the gospel. Because proclaiming the gospel is how you build the church, isn't it? Winning people to Jesus is how you build the church. Telling people about how their life can change through Jesus Christ, that's how you build the church. There's so many fancy fanciful ways to build the church that are out there, right? All these programs and this. And there are some good programs out there. I've used some of them. I've used that, the faith, the Sunday school evangelism faith that was out a few years ago. And I led our church up there in Missouri to use that, and we paired up and we went out to people's homes, and we shared Christ with them and invited them to come to church. And we saw some of those people come to church and some of those people trust Christ. What was amazing about that is that God didn't necessarily bless the program as much as He blessed our faithfulness. Because God sent people to Friendship Baptist Church during that time that none of us had ever talked to before, or none of us had even seen before. Isn't that incredible? They came to the church because we were being faithful in proclaiming the gospel. Amazing. I'm sure I might hear some. I'm going to the evangelism conference tonight and tomorrow, by the way. And I'm sure I'll hear some different ways possibly to share the gospel. There'll probably be some hallway or out here melon that's got all these different things and so forth. And I'm thankful for those things. But you know what the bottom line is to building the church is what's in the scripture. Share the gospel. Tell other people about Jesus. Tell other people what Jesus means to you. Now, we asked that question earlier. Jesus asked His disciples, who do you say that I am? And then I turned around and said, who is Jesus to you? And once we get that nailed down and we understand that Jesus is all those things that I said a few moments ago, that He came to save me from my sin, that He conquered sin and the grave, and that He came to rule and reign in my life. That's who Jesus is. And because of all those things, Jesus has made a drastic difference in my life. See, that's what you share with somebody else. And that's why I often ask you, what difference has Jesus made in your life? If Jesus hasn't made a big difference in your life, do you really know Him intimately? Do you really have a personal relationship with Him? That being said, talking about the authority that Jesus has given us, He's given us the authority to say to any person in the world, if you turn from your sin and trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, you will be free from your sin forever. Isn't that great? If you turn from your sin and trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, you're going to be free forever. And that's a promise based on the authority of Jesus Christ. At the same time, we can also say to any person in this world, and there's many ways to say this. You say it according to who you're talking to, of how you say it. But we have the authority to say that if you do not turn from your sin and you do not trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, you're bound to your sin, you're in bondage to your sin, and it's payment for all eternity in hell. See, there's two ways, right? There's two ways. And that, unfortunately, is also a promise, a guarantee based on the authority of Jesus Christ. That's what He said. That's what He said. You know, being a part of the church is not simply like joining a club, is it? Well, I'm a card-carrying member of First Baptist Church. That's not it, is it? This is not a club. This, as we said earlier, is the church of the living Jesus Christ, which is supposed to look like it's alive, right? But being part of the church is not like joining a club. It's an extremely important confession with eternal ramifications, right? It matters. And these ramifications are not only for being a part of the church, but also what we do as a church. We speak with the authority of Christ. So the next time you want to invite your friend or loved one to trust Jesus as Savior, remember, you're going in the authority of Jesus, right? I'm going to go tell my friend about Jesus, and I can do that because he's got my back, right? I go in his authority. Next time you want to give someone one of those tracts that's back there on that back table. Did y'all see those tracts, by the way, that you walk by? And you walk by, and those are for you. Those are for you to pick up and give to somebody who you don't think knows Jesus. And the next time, though, you do that, and you pick one of those up and you give them to somebody who doesn't know Jesus, remember that you're going in the authority of Jesus Christ. He's given you the power to do that. He's filled you with the Holy Spirit to give you the power to do that. We've been commissioned by Christ, right? And since we've been commissioned by Christ and given his authority to spread the gospel, his word says nothing can stop us, right? He says, I'm going to build my church. And we said, that's by proclaiming the gospel. And he says, not even the gates of hell can stop it. Nothing can stop it. It's going, right? Not even the forces of hell itself. I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to announce to you this morning that God is not dead, right? And God's church is not dead, right? And you're not dead, and I'm not dead, and this church is not dead, so why aren't we telling people about Jesus, right? People need to hear about Jesus. We serve a living Savior, right? Who is the head of a living church made up of you and me who are filled with the Spirit of God and have the authority of Christ. What a better combination can you get anywhere? There's not a better setup, is there? You're not set up for failure. You're set up for victory, right? You have victory. I have victory in Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for that authority and those promises, Lord, in your word that we see this morning. We're so grateful to be called one of yours, so grateful to be called a child of God, and so grateful to know that you've given us literally everything we need to live for you and to share the gospel with others. Lord, I can speak for myself as I can speak, I'm sure, for my brothers and sisters in Christ that are here this morning, that we don't always do that. Lord, I've failed you so many times and missed so many opportunities to tell people about Jesus. And Father, I pray that you'd help me to have a keen awareness of that going forward. That you would help me to know that the person standing with me or the person I'm talking to this week may need to know Jesus. And at least ask them if they do. Because we go in the power and the authority of Jesus. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that's not clear about that answer, that Jesus asks, who do you say that I am? And I pray that they would give their heart to you today, turn their life over to you today, Lord Jesus. We have this invitation time for that, and we hand it over to you in Christ's name. Amen.